We're continuing our dive into Asian bias, local style, in a minute. But first, mahalo to all those who braved the downtown Chinatown neighborhood board meeting last night at Aloha Tower. Councilmember Carol Fukunaga was there as usual, and representatives of the mayor, including Housing Director Anton Krucky, the mayor's point man on Chinatown. Mr. Krucky presented an outline of the mayor's plan, draft plans for the new Kekalike Mall improvements, 7 years in the making, were also unveiled last night, and we'll talk more about this next week. But it was a fascinating night. Artist, style setter, Ara Lalo, creative director for Nella Media, was there. She will be joining the Downtown Chinatown Neighborhood Board this summer. Arts organizer Miley Meyer is on the neighborhood board ballot in Makiki. Voting codes for neighborhood boards go out April 23rd, voting until May 21st. Artists are getting into civic participation. And Jeff Kim now is a tech developer working at that intersection of civics and technology. He was one of the organizers for last week's rally and march against hate. He's a civic tech developer who's lived all across the U.S., on the East Coast, then Los Angeles and Chicago, before moving to Honolulu 7 years ago. I asked Jeff, did you ever experience any anti-Asian hate or even vibes growing up?
Yeah, I've definitely experienced, at least on the continent, plenty of anti-Asian sentiments. One very notable experience that I had was with somebody, I thought we were really close and I thought we had a lot of mutual respect for each other. And then one day I was, you know, I saw him just passing by on the street and he said, "Hey, Jeff, my favorite Asian friend." And yeah, you know, and it was a really, it just always stuck with me because, you know, and I told him, and immediately I said, why can't I just be your favorite friend, period, you know? And he just kind of laughed it off, you know, and I just, yeah. And I mean, that's just a very minor example, obviously, but it's things like
minor.
That.
I mean, that's really different, Jeff, from a total stranger shunning you or acting like they don't know you. But when it's somebody that you think you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's why it cut pretty deep. And yeah, and it's probably the first thing that came up when you asked me that question. So I definitely have experienced discrimination for being Asian, period. And yeah, I've been, you know, in Hawaii for about 7 years. So
how's it different here?
Oh, obviously, because for East Asian people, people who look like me, I find that, yeah, because we are the majority, you know, Asian people in general are the majority here. It's not something that I have to really think about, somebody thinking about my, you know, my ethnicity before my personality.
Jeff, how does this work on the continent? How does each day feel different?
Yeah, something that I realized when I first got to Hawaii was a literal thought, involuntary thought entered my head that's told me, wow, I've spent so much of my life before this just subconsciously combating being a stereotype on a daily basis. Yeah. And in so many words, quote unquote, trying to prove that I am worthy of being considered, you know, quote unquote, just an American and not an Asian American. And once again, just Jeff, not Asian Jeff. So
what is a stereotype, Jeff? That you're kind of combating all the time. Yeah, what do people think you are without you doing anything?
Yeah, so like in the continent, a lot of that came down to a lot of the cliches that you see in movies and so forth, where Asian people are stereotyped in a quote unquote positive way of, oh, you're so smart, you're so mathematically inclined. So that's one way. In some of these, you know,
that was bad, or what? How did that hit you?
Yeah, so that may seem like, right, for a lot of people, that may seem like, oh, well, it's the opposite of a negative statement, so what's there to complain about? But, you know, I had direct experience with this, and I can tell you what it felt like. I was in high school, and I was in probably like pre-calculus at the time, and somebody who was taking multivariable calculus came up to me and, you know, just assumed, he said, "Hey, Jeff, can you help me with my multivariable?" And so it was in that moment that I realized, to get to your question, that yes, it's quote unquote flattering to be thought of as quote unquote superior intellect by default. But ultimately, what I felt in that moment wasn't flattery. What I felt in the moment was being of utility to somebody, that I'm a tool, you know, in that sense. And it's like, oh, so you just want to talk to me because you think you can get XYZ from me. And overall, as far as answering a question, yeah, that is what I certainly, part of that effort that I put into combat stereotypes was to not be just kind of, you know, passive, if you would, and just go along with a request like that. And because I find that that's also an expectation of people who do promote, you know, these stereotypes, that not only Asian women, but Asian men too, that they're submissive. And you know, and that gets a lot into sort of the territory of this concept of the model minority and so forth, that like, in so many words, as this one sociology professor put it really casually to me, you know, the model minority is someone who is like the white man, but does not surpass the white man.
Whoa. Wow. I'm really trying to imagine what it's like living this. Oh, so how did you react? Because I've seen Asian hip hop stars and they've got a crew, a posse of five, usually African American guys behind them, and they're swinging the other way to try to combat this stereotype. What did you do?
Yeah, I went down a similar route actually, very early on, like definitely since the end of the elementary school. I remember being very intentional about saying to myself in so many words that I will not be a stereotype, and that, yeah. And I think that being in that reactionary mindset, I also was, you know, kind of, I guess, attracted to the idea of trying to be more quote unquote American. Bottom line, be able to fit in so many words. And so, yeah, so I didn't, you know, I actually, like, intentionally many times was, you know, a poor student. Yeah. And did things that were cool, you know, like cut class or something like that, or whatever, things that, you know, my white American, you know, peers would find cool at the time.
And you did it with white people?
I did it with
accepted.
Yeah. And it was starting to work. Yeah. You know, I didn't really hang out with Asian people that much, because definitely where I was growing up at the time, Asian people just kind of stuck to themselves.
Oh.
Things were pretty divided. This was suburbs of LA and, you know, mid to late 90s. So yeah, things were pretty divided then. And I so much wanted not to be grouped into anything and to be able to, yeah, be able to enjoy all the benefits that being someone who is not stereotyped can enjoy, and say, hey, if I want to be, you know, like from like a teenage mentality, if I want to be like punk, I'm going to be punk. If I want to be, you know, hip hop, I want to be hip hop, whatever, you know. And I was trying to be kind of an outlier. But yeah, those are some of the ways that it definitely impacted my life decisions.
Thanks for, you know, teasing that out, because a lot of that is adolescence in general, you mm-hmm. know, coming up against what you're feeling from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. So there's something that we are experiencing here that could blind us to what's going on the continent.
Definitely. Yeah. And I find that, especially having lived here for a while now, you know, a lot of folks still seem to believe in what I've considered the myth of Hawaii being a melting pot, which I figure, you know, even just highlighting the fact that so many people here discriminate against, you know, Micronesian people as one kind of elephant in the room, you know, is clear example that it's not the case, that this is a paradise of diversity and a melting pot. And yeah, and that's why, you know, to a lot of people, you know, have definitely asked us, why did you put on this event when Hawaii is majority Asian? I mean, do we have anti-Asian hate problems here? You know, and I find, and my teammates would probably agree that we do. And just because you're Asian yourself doesn't mean that you are immune from discriminating against other Asians. For instance, you know, Asian immigrants from one country discriminate against Asian immigrants from other countries all the time. You know, as somebody of Korean descent, I definitely heard plenty of, yeah, discriminating words coming out of my parents' mouths, you know, about other cultures that were Asian as well.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
There's a pivotal exhibit right now at Bishop Museum, you know, where they're trying to deal with their race's past and really proving that racial categories are really non-existent. Where does this leave us, Jeff?
As I see it, I find that it will be a bit different than movements of the past, in that this will be, I find, a much more intersectional movement moving forward, where it's not just about, you know, stop Asian hate, or if you're Black, stop, you know, Black hate or Black Lives Matter, right? On and on. As one of our speakers said, you know, it's about our collective liberation, that anybody who is experiencing injustice in this world, period, you know?
So how would that come home in Hawaii?
Yeah, so kind of to talk about the, you know, anti-Asian sentiments and so forth, bringing it to the context of Hawaii, I really want to talk about this concept of the model minority. Yeah, and I mean, as mentioned before, you know, just because you're Asian doesn't mean you're immune from discriminating against other Asians. And ultimately, this concept of the model minority, which for our listeners who are not very familiar with it, is basically, like I said earlier, in casual terms, acting, you know, trying to become like white people, but without surpassing white people. And in doing so, it creates kind of a wedge between Asian people and Black people and people of color in general, because it's kind of like, who will compete for the approval of white people and kind of gain that approval first? Yeah, the model minority ultimately aids in promoting white supremacy as we see it, you know, as I see it. And as an Asian American author, Frank Chin, put it, whites love us because we're not Black. And as Asian people, more than ever now, we need to reckon with that statement and all that implies. And especially from all, like, yeah, just all these comments that we got of just like, oh, like, why are you doing this here? This isn't the mainland, you know, that just because of reason, questions like that, just realize that if Asian people want to be able to stop Asian hate, then we also need to stop Black hate and stop Latina hate and stop hating women and so on. And yeah, it is an intersectional struggle. And we are dealing with the larger issue of white supremacy, period, which can be manifested through being a model minority.
Jeff Kim is a civic technology developer in Honolulu. He's team lead for the Honolulu Hub of the Sunrise Movement, a climate action group that works across areas affected by climate change. For example, this climate group is joining a Good Jobs for All Day of Action on April 7th. It's this idea Kim referred to of intersectionality. The word was coined over 30 years ago by Kimberly Crenshaw, a law professor who studies race and civil rights. It's been gaining traction ever since. Intersectionality has been called really dangerous, a, quote, conspiracy theory of victimization. But look at it. Intersectionality refers to the way race, class, gender, privilege, and other factors intersect in given situations. We had a clear example of intersectionality at the Stop Asian Hate rally last Saturday. East Oahu Senator Stanley Chang was the third speaker scheduled. His remarks were posted later on the Honolulu Youth Liberation Front's Twitter account. This is Senator Chang.
I was standing in line at a convenience store. I decided I didn't want what I was going to get. I walked out the store because there was a long line, and a guy in front of the store stopped me. And he said, "Stop." And I was like, "Okay." He said, "What's in your bag?" So I opened my bag. And as I opened my bag, I realized, oh, wait a minute. This guy thinks that I stole something from this store. And in that moment, he didn't see all my fancy degrees. He didn't see that I was an elected official in the state of Hawaii. He didn't see that as a light-skinned East Asian person, I was actually higher up on the totem pole than he was.
Senator Stanley Chang has said he was trying to make a statement about hierarchy and privilege. He certainly did. He was savaged for these remarks, and he followed up by apologizing profusely that same day on that same Twitter feed and elsewhere. Race and ethnicity expert John Okamura told me Chang's words and attitude are simply racist. But the marvel of the whole thing is how unconscious we can be of our own attitudes. When they are pointed out, we can correct them. At the legislature, Majority Leader Dela Al-Belati introduced two resolutions, H.R. 111 and H.C.R. 112. They declare that racism is a public health crisis. Senate Concurrent Resolution 66 condemns anti-Asian sentiment and actions. Have you been to a march or rally lately? I have, and I find I run into people who are doing it for the first time. It's an education. And last Saturday's young people, strollers, and handmade signs bode well for the future. I walked up to a young woman with a great sign, Mylin Yamamoto Tansinko. She turned out to be one of the rally organizers. She's a local business owner. And I asked her how she feels Asian hate plays out here in Hawaii. And she was saying it can be subtler, like microaggressions that people hardly notice.
I'm also guilty, you know, of like these microaggressions. It's making me think about how I made fun of people in my own high school. And, you know, we're like, oh, yeah, you know, we make fun of each other. That's how it is. But I realize, like, it can hurt people. So it's moments like these make me reflect on how little things, like what the chief of police said in Kauai and how it can escalate.
But we were all supposed to laugh along and make like, oh, that showed we were good sports, right? Hey, but it's like bullying.
Exactly. It can be something like, oh, you speak really great English, or I love your eyes, the way that they're shaped.
Oh, I know what you mean.
Thanks, Mom. My mom's here today. This is my mom's first rally. Mom, why did you come out today?
Yeah, you made me.
Bodies count.
I didn't know there's only going to be the three of us.
This whole week, it's been nonstop planning with our other organizers. So to hear and see the community come out in solidarity against Asian hate, like it's really beautiful and validating. And I really see a path forward to continue movements like this.
Why are these people interested? Are they particularly, I don't know.
I don't want to speak for them, but I know we all showed up here for the same reason, as to stop Asian hate and to stop hate here in Hawaii.
Mylin Yamamoto Tansinko. The Stop Asian Hate Rally was organized by Corona Care Hawaii, Honolulu Youth Liberation Front, Sunrise Movement, and Young Progressives Demanding Action. Mikey Inoue, a remarkable filmmaker, co-founder of Corona Care Hawaii, emceed the day. It was great to see him there. And the sign Mylin was holding said, "Hate is a virus. Aloha is the cure."